It sounds like the beginning of an old joke. What happens when a molecular virologist, an evolutionary biologist, and a hip-hop dancer go into a laboratory?
I've heard that one before, but this one is not a joke. It's a real question that ASU's Herberger Institute for Design and the Arts is asking in its new performance, Science Exposed, Bringing Science to Life Through the Arts. It'll be performed tonight on ASU's Tempe campus, and the show's Lauren Gilger is here with more on this. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, guys. So this is a multidisciplinary performance. There will be dance collaborations from dance legend Liz Lerman's animating research class and musical compositions created by two graduate students who spent some time with neuroscientists who are studying Alzheimer's disease. They spoke with both researchers and caregivers, and they came up with compositions that reflect their interpretations of the disease.
So, Lauren, is the idea that you get to kind of hear what Alzheimer sounds like?
Right, exactly. So I talked with one of those composers, Stephen Mitten, as well as Dr. Stephanie Etheridge-Woodson. She's the director of the Herberger Institute Design and Art Core. And art is so often seen as a mode of self-expression. I asked Stephen if this was a challenge for him to tell a broader story in his work.
Right. That was actually one of the things that attracted me to this project, is because as a composer, I'm always thinking of my own ideas, things that I think sound good together, sounds that I'm interested in. And for this, this was more like telling somebody else's story. Mm-hmm. So with all of this research behind me to work with, and with all of these stories of people that are coping with neurodegenerative diseases, I had a lot of material to work with. And so the challenge wasn't, I need to come up with something. It's how can I use some of these sounds that I've already been working with? How can I use them to tell a different story? And that has been mostly what I've been concerned with, and it has been pretty exciting to do that.
So the National Science Foundation has a program like this where you sort of allow artists to work alongside scientists and sort of find out what that collaboration results in. I wonder at this point, after having done this, do you think that this is an important type of work, sort of using the arts to explain science or to deliver it to people in a new way?
I would say yes, absolutely. I'm a theater artist, and we say yes and as part of our discipline. Yes, and it's also really interesting when artists are pointed in the same direction as scientists, because they bring a different way of thinking to how we address a problem. So this is a pilot project to see what happens if we actually embed an artist in biodesign for a full semester, as opposed to a tiny project like this. What are the ways in which we could enliven the research experience, not just communicate the research experience, but innovate the research experience?
One of the things I have learned from these scientists in our conversations, the underlying theme is that scientists working on problems like these need creativity too. Hmm. And I work in a creative space every day working on new compositions. But in order to think about a problem in a new way, you have to think outside of the box. And if we didn't have that in science, there would be no discovery. And learning about how we each use creativity independently has been really enlightening. And I think we can deepen this connection through this experience.
So what was there something you learned, like a new approach you learned from one of the scientists that you now are going to use when you're approaching a composition?
One of the conversations we had was with a neuroscientist whose father actually had Alzheimer's, and he was both a caregiver and a researcher at the same time. And he was also a very gifted pianist, and he played some of his compositions. And we had this great conversation about what Alzheimer's disease would sound like. And this is before I even started writing the piece. And he said, you can go any number of directions with it. You could go the direction where the piece would sound different every single time it's played.
Yeah.
Because Alzheimer's isn't the same from family to family or from caregiver to caregiver. The experience can be very different. And one thing I was interested in was that moment-to-moment change in people's lives, these different stages that Alzheimer's takes people through, new challenges that arise every single day, or a challenge that is new for this month that the caregiver has no idea how to deal with.
So what was the approach you ended up taking?
So I ended up taking the approach of using one primary theme for the piece to represent the actual sufferer, the person who has the disease, because in some of these stories I've heard, and there's actually been Alzheimer's in my family as well, so I've had a little bit of experience personally with this, is that the personality of the person still shines through in unexpected ways at different times in the whole process. And so using one melody to represent the person was really attractive to me, but there are sudden changes and shifts in mood and character, some almost violent shifts and some very sweet and sentimental shifts, but they use the same melody. I actually use the same combination of 12 notes to create different textures. So what you end up with is this incredible emotional roller coaster that has sort of a satisfying story arc as the listener hears this melody taken through all of these different iterations.
That's a beautiful way to tackle it. And this isn't only compositions from the two of you. This is performance, dance, and music, am I right?
Yes, that's correct. So Liz Lerman, who is a professor at ASU, teaches a course called Animating Research, where she puts her students into teams and attaches them to a researcher. And then the dancer's responsibility is to get to know the research, to get to know the researcher, and then to reflect that back in an embodied practice. And what's fascinating about this is the way in which the embodied practice can help not just reflect the research back, but also distill it. Michael Crow at ASU talks about use-driven research. Liz Lerman uses the term purpose-driven research, which I think is really gets at the way in which music and dance and the arts in general can help think back to why we do the things we do.
Yeah. Along those lines, I wonder, one of the things I've seen Liz Lerman say is this idea that she wants to challenge her students to go outside of themselves and their art, right? And I wonder, is the goal in this to sort of make a broader point, to reach a broader audience, to make what you're doing more relevant?
I think that the mission of the Herberger Institute and the Design and Arts Corps in particular is absolutely that. It's to leverage the creative practices that we do in our laboratories, on our stages, towards the common good. So what does it look like when we point our creativity towards making the world a better place?
That's something that's been very attractive to people when they hear about this is, you know, it's one thing to go to a concert hall and to hear great music or to go to a dance concert and see some great choreography, but it's another thing, something deeper or more meaningful when there are actual problems we're trying to solve. And people don't always think of artists as people who are trying to solve problems in the world, but drawing attention to those problems, making people more aware of them, creating a global awareness, or even creating new meanings for these problems through music and dance and visual art. I think that's a powerful way to get people involved.
Dr. Stephanie Etheridge-Woodson is the director of the Herberger Institute Design and Art Corps, and Stephen Minton is a graduate student at ASU and one of the composers of this project. Thanks so much for coming in, both of you.
Thank you for
having us.
Science Exposed, Bringing Science to Life Through the Arts, is tonight at the Biodesign Institute at Arizona State University.
The show's Lauren Gilger. Thanks.
Thank you.